My name is Leah. It's not that special of a name, but my men know it well. By men, I mean I lead a band of men, though from time to time a couple of rebellious women, who think sewing and being housewife a bit ridiculous, join up. I think it might be unusual for a woman to lead such a group, but I'd always grown up hearing fabulous tales of adventurers and men who defeated monsters and came back to their kingdoms with finished quests for my father. They gained land, fortune, status, and most importantly, the love of the country. When I was young, my childhood friend Siegfried and I explored our world together, dreaming of such a similar life, and through all our wandering, we slowly developed the group that we are now. My parents must have somehow known that I wasn't going to be a village dweller, for my name means independence. This recollection of my latest adventure is quite possibly the longest and most challenging yet. My party heard a peculiar tale about a young princess who ate so much that there was nothing left for the rest of the kingdom to eat. What is even stranger is that she never gained any weight, not even an ounce. She grew normally, of course, she wasn't stick thin, but she retained the same figure. We, my party and I, heard about this and decided to see if this tale was real or just rumor. For those of you not entitled to knowledge of my world, I will explain so you are familiar with it. It will help as I continue this account. The lands of Orinda were split up into several kingdoms and states, depending on the ruling system. Siegfried and I were from Alisonia, which in the early ages was the land of kings when Orinda was united. Our king, Cadfael, rules Alisonia now, and his family had for generations come from Alisonia. To the south lays Fenarion, which borders the sea. Fenarion's capital, Midonia, is where the kings lived. Cragash is where the Gorlags live. A Gorlag is a gruesome creature that is bulbous, strong, and very irritable. It is a very desolate land. Kairi to the north is now one of the most advanced locations in Orinda. They gave up their kingdom to be a state which is ruled by the people that dwell within. I'm not sure of the details as I have never encompassed that are yet. Now we are in Faerys, the central kingdom in Orinda. They were the first to break off to become separate from the whole of Orinda. Its people were proud and wished to be independent. We were nearing the Faerys Castle Bridge, dubbed the Humble Bridge by its inhabitants, which is the most magical thing in the Faerys Kingdom. The massive stone structure supports travelers over a great chasm. Once you arrive at the middle of the bridge, you mustn't think about yourself or what you are trying to achieve, or the bridge will disappear altogether, and everyone on it will fall thousands of feet to their deaths on the rocky spires below. Truth be told, it has kept out a lot of riffraff, and I've heard it helped the people of Faerys in their early days of independence, as other Orindon people disputed their decisions. Years later, after the kingdoms were all dissident, those remaining in Faerys were outraged at the lack of technical advance compared to Kairi, and broke off after a civil war to become Kalos. Watch your step! We're nearing the bridge!
Yes, my lady!
The bridge was a great deterrent to armies and enemies of the kingdom, even for would-be assassins, though some had managed to get through if they ever came with additional men. The bridge was almost certain to let them meet at the bottom of the chasm. Assassins, unlike armies, worked best individually and they were well trained in their level of thinking against magical things of this kind in an interrogation. Most had the knowledge of the bridge that their employers had given them. It had been so long since Faerysians rebelled that most had forgotten about the reason why the bridge was made. Nowadays, people are more inclined to kill off the princess to save the country than the king. I had heard about the kindness of Faerys, so I wasn't sure what to expect. We walked up the mossy cobblestone steps of the bridge, and I called to the others. Now everyone, think about someone else! Thinking only about my colleague, Siegfried, I crossed the bridge with no trouble. Thankfully, it did not give way, reminding me of the party's obedience to me, and more importantly at this time, their will to live. After crossing, we came upon the massive castle of King Burchell Faerys, ruler of the country. All royals in this country keep the same last name, Faerys. No one but royalty is allowed to use that name. I suppose it helps newcomers to not get mixed up. The castle loomed over us, blocking our view of the sun which had been formerly bathing us in its rich, welcoming light. We walked up to the massive wooden castle wall door, which was just past the end of the bridge, and I pounded the door with my fist. I'm not surprised that Faerus, meaning rock, was the name given to the rulers, as this castle was massive. At least every 50 feet there was a large parapet threaded by a wall, complete with allure for guardsmen to walk on, and battlements. I could see a center building for where the king lived just peeping out from my view. The door had a circular aperture which creaked open.
Who comes to the castle?
A curious traveller and her companions who seek the deliverance of the fated princess. I'm Leah Dwivene in Alisania, if it pleases those who need to know.
We have heard of you. Wait here.
I gave a worrisome gaze to my crew. We were a band of hearty questers, yearning for adventure. Siegfried was my dearest friend, the most loyal person in the group. He is what I considered the second in command. As I mentioned before, he and I grew up in the same town of Dwivene, in the small kingdom country of Alisania, west of Faerus, and we both wanted the same thing. Adventure. We were mischievous children, always getting into trouble. One time we scared my neighbor's cow from 5 miles away into the middle of town. Luckily, the owner wasn't in town for market as he usually is, or he would have had our hives. Sig and I went from town to town as we reached the age of independence, steadily picking up more people who wanted the same lifestyle as us on our travels, the ability to wander freely and take things as they come, one day at a time. When we heard of the prince's predicament, we knew that we had to come.
You are most welcome here. Please, enter in.
The great oaken door howled with age as it opened, and we cautiously walked into the walled castle courtyard. Daily life seemed to stop as we entered. Outside the castle, before we sought admittance, we could hear children playing and privy water being tossed from buildings. We could even hear the faint clang of metal, probably from sword masters teaching squires, or maybe the local smith. It was obvious that most of the castle had heard about us. I could see all the gaunt faces staring at us in wonder and anticipation for a cure for the king's young daughter. The town sounds diminished as people stopped what they were doing to observe. We slowly proceeded to the two great doors of the keep. When we finally entered the keep, with the courtyard and the shocked villagers behind us, the vaulted ceilings greeted us solemnly as if they too knew of the pain of the kingdom. The rich tapestries on the walls seemed to emanate their somber air as well. Everyone in this place seemed to be so distressed. They were probably starving since the princess's appetite threw the kingdom into a land of famine. We were granted an audience with King Birchall, the gatekeeper told me. I decided to do my best to convince him that we could help Dashiell. I could only hope for the best. We have been told that I will see the king tomorrow morn. I wonder what he will say. I hope I can help. I hope that there will be food, because I am starving. Daily rations only last for so long. Sig stayed with me while the others went to clean up for dinner. I didn't know there would be dinner because of the famine. One of the servants assured me that there would be a feast provided. We had been assigned to fairly large rooms. My room contained 2 windows with plush red seats adjoined that were parallel to the door. There was a large candelabra sitting on a table in a corner, next to a colossal bed with delicately crafted oak pillars and soft velvet drapes. The bedspread was a lovely dark satin, and there was a pile of fluffy pillows at the head. The smell of spices filled my nose as I discovered a scented candle disc floating in rose water beside a desk on the other side of the room. Sig accompanied me to this room because I think he knew I needed someone to talk to. I was starting to second-guess myself, which doesn't happen too often. Sig, I'm scared. I sincerely want to cure the princess of this curse that is killing the kingdom. As this quest is something I know I can do, but I just don't know how. That is what scares me. This is the first time that I've been unsure of myself. Perhaps it's just because she's been magicked and I'm no magician. How can I possibly convince the king that I know what I'm doing if I don't know myself?
Leah, calm down. You'll be fine. You have gotten through tough situations before, remember? And besides, you must stay confident or the rest of us will doubt in your abilities. Well, not necessarily me, of course, but some of the newer men at least. Regardless, even if you aren't sure of yourself, pretend you are.
What are you doing? It's not dinner yet.
Pretending. I'm going to find the princess. I have my reasons. I'm very curious to see what she's like anyway.
What? Now?
It's as good a time as any, I think. Sig, you don't need to worry about me. I'll be fine. It's not as though she's going to eat me.
I'll be going to dinner then. I suppose we'll meet there. I will save you a seat, Lee.
Thanks, I'll be there. I shut the door as I left, the oak closure making a gentle clunk. I walked around through the keep's halls, trying to find someone to ask where the royal rooms are. Quite by chance, I bumped into a servant carrying a large load of fresh laundry in a basket.
Excuse me, m'lady. I didn't mean to run into you.
Oh, that's quite all right. Would you mind telling me where Her Highness's room is?
Of all the places in the castle, there are so many others that would be better suited to your liking. I wouldn't want to be around that cursed child, even though she is the lady of the castle, and I am dedicated to serve her, but still, I wouldn't want that sort of thing to be rubbed off on me, if you understand. Why do you need to go there, miss?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't introduce myself. I am Leah Yova, and I'm trying to disenchant the princess.
Ah, I know. Well, the whole castle knows. It's quite a legend recently. We have all heard a bit of your past endeavours. What, running around that kingdom of Alisonia recently? You'll find her up there, third door on the right. She might be asleep, though, as that's the only time she's not as hungry as a wild dog. Oh, please don't tell her I said that.
Thank you, sir. I won't. I turned to wave him on and slowly walked up the tower stairs he described. The stairwell was very dark and the stairs curved upward. Through the window's narrow arrow slits, I could see the courtyard and a scant portion of the humble bridge. The torches along the wall guided me forward, and soon I came to the end of the staircase. I walked along the corridor before me, which was encased in stone with beautiful rugs on the floor and wooden benches along the side. The benches contained decently stuffed pillows, save one which held a sleeping servant, most likely off duty. I soon found the door that the laundry servant had told me was Dashiell's. I lightly rapped on the door. Might I come in, Your Highness? I'm Leah.
Yes, I am here. Please come in.
I opened the door slowly and pushed my head into the room. I saw a bald princess sitting on a chair beside an elegant cherry writing desk, complete with the royal crest engraved at the top. And as she caught my eye, she carefully closed the book she had been reading and twisted her body to look at me. I slid my arm and then the rest of me into her room. I didn't want to open the door too wide, for fear that the increased light would wake the servant in the hall. Hello, I'm Leah Yova. I've come here to help you. The princess stared at me like I wasn't real. Her eyes were wide, and her face set in an expression that could only be described as gawking. Her mouth was open in a slight jaw-dropping position. She herself was fair of face. The dark brown hair was plaited on her head, half surrounded by waterfalls of curls, and she wore a tight-fitting dress, most likely silk, and some very expensive brocade. The fabric was a lovely sea-blue with gold embroidery. I was almost jealous at the luxurious vestments of the princess. I was stunned at her, but was on the verge of laughing at the expression that she herself wore.
Well, what did you expect?
What did you say?
I said, what did you expect?
You were gawking at me as if I were some mystical creature sent here from beyond the mortal realm. I'm as real as you.
I'm sorry, but I didn't expect you. Oh dear, that didn't come out right. I'm a horrible conversationalist for a princess. I suppose that is why men are the diplomats. 2 years ago, Father sent out my brother, Rowan, to Kiri to settle some skirmish over there. I don't know the details, but he always sends out Rowan, and never me. I want to rule and help my people. Of course, in this state, I'm only hindering their well-being. Anyway, my father had a messenger come tell me about someone that arrived here today to help disenchant me. What I meant to say was I didn't expect a woman, and one so young. Please feel free to sit down.
There is no malice taken, Princess. My journeyed legs and I headed toward the bed in her room. My legs were far past being tired from the day's journey, and I needed to sit down. While I was used to long travels with the men, to get to the Faerus Castle we had to do a lot of uphill climbing. It took a lot out of me. As I sat down, I noticed that the soft bed was covered with silken sheets, so I wasn't about to complain. Really, I would never have complained to the royalty about anything.
Please, for pity's sake, call me Dashiell. There is no need for such frivolities. I really just want to be normal. Calling me by just my name helps.
Very well, Dashiell. You are quite unusual for a princess, you know.
Yes, with unusual eating habits, too.
How terrible it must be.
Yes, well, I try and get used to it. Every hour someone brings me a meal, except at night. Then I can sleep, and when I sleep I am never hungry, and I don't have to go relieve myself either. Speaking of which, if you'll excuse me, I must go to my privy. I'll be right back.
Surely, please go. Dashiell walked towards the other door in her room, opening it just wide enough for me to make out that it was a privy. She closed the door and I was left to wait for her return. Poor girl. She looks to be in her late teens. I wonder how long she has had this problem. I shall ask her when she returns. Poor princess, she's laid back. She has a good sense of humor, too. It was almost time for the evening meal, so I had to hurry back down to the dining hall shortly. The princess came back and sat down.
I'm so sorry. I hate when that happens. Always in the middle of a good laugh.
How long has this curse been upon you?
12 years. Almost to the beginning of my memories. My father wanted me to be able to eat a lot since we had terrific feasts back then. He asked a fairy to come and bless me with an appetite. The awful creature did. And the land has lived on scant meals since.
How old are you, Dashiell?
17 come Wednesday.
Well, Dashiell, I hope you have a pleasant birthday with lots of presents. I must be off to dinner, but I shall try my best to find a cure. I'll see you there.
Good luck, Leah Yovar. I hope you succeed. For the people's sake.
The hour for the evening meal came at last, and I finally saw what the king looked like. Truth be told, I only could care for what I could bring to his daughter, but I wondered what the man was like that had such a well-mannered child. While fame and fortune did come a priority typically, this was a slightly different adventure, I gathered. After seeing Dashiell in a sorrowful state previously, my true nature was beginning to show, and I was getting more sympathetic to her and the kingdom. And suddenly, it wasn't all about the money and how far and wide my name would be heard. Money was always a plus, of course, but to me it's not as important as how I can shape other people's lives and my own through good deeds. As Dashiell came down for supper, I saw in her youthful eyes a sprig of hope. My talk with her must have improved her feelings toward the whole predicament. I know Dashiell was in need of some female companionship since the king's wife died. But it was my fear that I would end up leaving like the others who tried to remove the curse. Dashiell really didn't have any friends from what I could tell, from what I knew already. The servants were reluctant to be around her. I asked a different servant where the feasting hall was because I happened to get lost in the labyrinth of Feyre's castle. With all the stairs and halls and doorways, I didn't feel too embarrassed at losing my place in the building. The servant laughed at my mention of feast, but he apparently directed me correctly because I did arrive at my desired destination. The Great Hall, which was an architectural masterpiece, was as large as the courtyard, it seemed. There were two rather monstrous oak tables parallel to each other, and a table that is perpendicular to both, which was where the king would sit. The hall was filled with beautiful tapestries and spires on its ceiling. One of them showed an embroidered knight in the swamp of Sandring, his sword raised high as a Gorlag approached. Another was of a pretty woman outside in a garden. A tall man was nearby, gazing into the distance while two children played at the woman's feet. Whoever did these was a spectacular embroiderer. At my distance, they looked almost real. I could imagine in a castle like this there was also a library with illuminated manuscripts of art, as well done as the tapestries I saw. The wooden beams above my head carried the weight of a large silver candelabrum. The soft flicker of the light soothed my soul. As I looked back to the royal table, I saw a newly seated king. I was quite surprised that there was no announcement of his presence or musical entrance for him. I suppose in this place it was to be expected. The king sat proudly at the table, his lovely graying beard completing his majestic form. He was silent as one deep in thought. I wondered what he was thinking about. No doubt it was about his daughter, as his eyes rested on Dashiell, who sat beside him. Immediately, he glanced further down the table where I sat. I wondered how he felt with Dashiell's predicament. His eyes were glazed over like someone who was recollecting days long past. The servants just entered the room. They brought in trays and trays of mushroom dishes. Mushroom pie, mushroom stew, with mushroom broth, of course. Mushroom desserts and mushroom drinks. Dashiell was the only one to taste the variety of the kingdom. She sat with a plate of juicy, tenderized steak marinated with the finest of dark green vegetables, and a tall glass of freshly squeezed juice, the pulp still visible. Before her were strewn plates and plates of venison, pork, and seafood. I could see rich chocolate mousse, hot apple pie, strawberry shortcake, glazed doughs, and delicious pastries. There were servers with piles of vegetables on their trays, hearty green beans, carrots, celery, broccoli, and beets. As for the drinks, they weren't in short supply either. There were wines, milk, and every kind of juice imaginable. All of this was for the princess. I wondered why she didn't eat the mushrooms. The rich scent of the princess's food drifted over to me, and my stomach growled, yearning for those sweet things.
Do you realize that all of this food is just for her?
It's really true, then. Sig, the poor girl, she... I mean, it doesn't really seem real until you see it with your own two eyes.
Leah, you have to help her. I know that you're worried about everything, but you need to be strong. Don't show your emotion. They need you to help her. If they see you like this, they will wonder if you are really able to complete the task. After all these many years, we are the only hope left. Ugh.
I thought you said we'd have dinner.
I did. I suppose we eat what she doesn't. Well, it's just the mushrooms, then.
Indeed. Not what I call a delicious meal, but I guess you can call it satisfying. At least they have herbs to liven up the dishes.
King Burchell was a tall man, with a black beard, now slightly dripping from drinking thick mushroom juice, with graying hairs throughout. His warm eyes caught mine as he stood and he smiled, his white teeth glowing.
Tonight, travelers have come to save my daughter from her curse and to relieve the people of their hunger. I wish to toast to their success and their willingness to help us.
Hear, hear!
After the king was finished, the hall was livened with the entertainment of a traveling minstrel, acrobats, and players. Sig clapped my back and gave me a warm smile.
Don't worry, Lee. You can do this.
I know. Well, it is that time when I shall see the king. I hope I can save his daughter from her own prison, I thought to myself the next morning as I walked into the great hall. The feast tables were all gone, replaced by a long red velvet carpet spanning the distance of the expansive room, and ending at the bottom of a set of 5 steps, each representing the 5 founding villages of Faerus: Alta, Marcello, Merit, Samara, and Goregi. Atop the steps was a large oaken throne, bedazzled with gilded gold, perfected with just as wonderful mahogany and cherry wood insets. There were spectacular engravings as well upon the magnificent furniture, depicting the crowning of kings and winning of battles. The only presence in the room besides mine and some guards was a large man on his royal throne. I started gaping at the old king. He was laid in rich purple robes, white fur lining the edges. The delicate embroidery on the sleeves was of vines, made of a strong but refreshing green. A few spots of blue peeped from the vines and bloomed into magnificent flowers. I realized my jaw had dropped, almost to the floor, so I quickly closed it and addressed his decked-out majesty. King Burchell? I was waiting for a formal announcement of my presence, but it never came, so I decided to present myself. Luckily, in the Faerus Kingdom, subjects don't always need to wait to be introduced. I know Kalos has a law forbidding such things. I've heard people have gone to prison or even have died for speaking out of turn.
Yes, and you must be Lea Yavor.
Your Majesty, I want so much to help the princess.
Yes, I believe you can.
I was shocked and gaped at him with an open mouth. Again. I hope he thinks I have at least some manners. With all of the people who have come and gone, his instant belief in me was unexpected. I stumbled out my reply. But, sir, I haven't even told you what I plan to do.
That does not matter. You don't need to. I know you can do it. I have seen the eyes of my child, and there is a hope in those 2 innocent eyes that I have not seen in years. I truly believe you can help her. I may believe in the unbelievable. Do you understand? You don't have to be important to help someone you know. I think that is your fear. The reason why you doubt yourself. I am certain that you heard about the mages that have come here to help my child. But you are just as gifted as they. Somehow you changed my daughter. I can see it in her eyes. If you can make my daughter believe that she can be cured when all others have failed, then you can find a way.
Thank you, Your Majesty, for believing in me.
You're welcome. You probably thought I was going to interrogate you to find out your intentions. I was going to, but it wasn't necessary after today. You'll find fresh clothes out in the overflow room across the hall. I know you've had a long journey. Relax, and do what you think needs to be done. I'll be waiting.
Thank you, sire. I took my leave of the king and found my way out of the door. I went across the hall to the overflow room he mentioned and about gasped at what was placed before me. There was a gorgeous short sword, complete with a jeweled hilt and enameled scabbard. There was a dress, hunter green, with silver trim that was strewn across a chair. There was also a pair of men's trousers and a shirt. He must have known that I wear trousers when travelling. They are much more comfortable and giving on long journeys. When Sig and I were growing up, I took a fancy to running off with clothes from his room so I could wear them. I liked how I could easily move around. Unfortunately, my parents didn't approve. My father, after many deliberations, finally gave in to my pleadings and readily accepted me. I think my mother would accept me if I ever found a husband. I found a small room near the hall, and so I took the dress in hand, laid it on the floor, and changed into the trousers. After getting everything back together, I strapped the sword I had been given to my side and looked into a floor mirror that was nearby. I looked like a warrior. Oh, father would be proud, I thought to myself and went out the door and down the hall giggling.